to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to episode 114 of the Shepherd Thoughts podcast, and we are continuing a little series that we're doing in these recent sessions on the office of a deacon in the church, the role that a deacon has in a church based upon what the Bible teaches. And last episode, episode 113, we introduced the idea of a deacon. We saw that a deacon is a special role that is biblical and historical. It is a very strategic role. It's a service-oriented role. It's also a special role with certain special outcomes and possibilities that can take place when a man serves as a deacon very well. Today, we're going to look in this episode at some qualifications for being a deacon. Not all men in a church will qualify or automatically qualify to serve in a church as a deacon. And so today we're going to look at one of two places in Scripture that shows us the kind of people, the kind of men that can be a deacon in a church. We're going to begin today by looking at Acts chapter 6. This is one of two places in Scripture that give us indicators, qualifications for a man to serve as a deacon in a church. And this episode will focus on Acts chapter 6. The next podcast episode will focus on some qualifications that are given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, we find that, first of all, potential deacons must have a good reputation. They must have a good reputation among the congregation. That is true. They must also have a good reputation in the community at large. Imagine this, that you're considering a man in your church to be appointed as a deacon, and before you approach him, you conduct a randomized, spontaneous set of interviews inside and outside of the church, asking people for their candid opinion of this man. If he has a good reputation, then you would receive a litany of positive testimonials about his character, his reputation, and so on. But if you don't receive this kind of response, but instead receive mixed bad reviews or mixed reviews, then you might want to stop and think if the man really qualifies at this stage to be a deacon. You see, a good reputation is necessary because deacons handle financial and material matters in a church. They receive funds, manage funds, and distribute them. They must be counted on to handle affairs like this with confidentiality, with impartiality, and with integrity. In the Jerusalem church, for instance, the Hellenist believers, the Greek-speaking Jews, worried about favoritism toward the Hebrew-speaking widows. Therefore, it was imperative that they perceive the deacons that were appointed to resolve this dilemma to be impartial and trustworthy. And so a man to be a deacon must first of all have a very good reputation within the church and within the community at large. He also must be a man, we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, also in verse 5, who is full of the Holy Spirit. Luke mentions twice that a potential deacon must be full of the Holy Spirit, emphasizing the spiritual nature of deacon ministry and a striking contrast with a mere secular approach. The descriptor, full, describes this man as being permeated by the influence of the Holy Spirit, fully yielded to his control. While it may seem difficult to tell whether a man is yielded to the invisible spirit or not, Scripture provides five indicators which may be observed. First, this man should be someone who shares his faith with courage. And you'll see in the book of Acts that this matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit and sharing the gospel, evangelizing with courage, these two things are very much linked together. So this is a man who is courageous in witnessing, faithful, and getting the gospel out to others. Second, this is a man who memorizes and meditates on the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that a person who is filled with the Spirit is a person who is filled with the Word of God. Paul equates this characteristic as being equal to being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. This is significant because a congregation must have confidence that a potential deacon will make decisions that are guided by the Word of God. Consequently, a man who is filled with the Spirit and the Word of God will manifest three additional qualities. You'll find this in Ephesians and Colossians as well. He will be a man who praises God from his heart and willingly participates in congregational singing. He also will be a man who is thankful in his spirit and will also be a man with a humble approach to relationships that elevates the needs of others over his own. And so this must be a man with a good reputation, a man who's full of the Holy Spirit, who witnesses faithfully, a man who meditates and memorizes the Word of God, internalizes Scripture, and follows it conscientiously. And you'll know that he's this kind of man because he has a willingness to participate in congregational singing. He exhibits a thankful spirit and a humble approach to relationships in life and in the church. He also needs to be, according to Acts 6, verse 3, a man full of wisdom. Luke teaches that a prospective deacon must be full of wisdom, emphasizing an ability to make skillful, prudent choices. Deacons make regular choices that require thoughtfulness, maturity, and a commitment to biblical principle over personal preference, especially when these decisions and tasks intersect with human feelings, finances, and other sensitive factors. This wisdom must be more, though, than common business savvy. It is not the kind of wisdom that you're looking for if all the man has is business savvy. He must be spiritually sensitive. It must be biblical in content, this wisdom must, and it must be spiritual in nature. Such wisdom can only be learned through personal study of the Word of God and humble, prayerful reliance upon God. This man also, we see in 6:5 of Acts, should be a man who is full of faith. Luke teaches that a prospective deacon must be full of wisdom. To describe a man then as being permeated with faith implies firm confidence in the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, an unrelenting reliance on God, and faithful obedience to Scripture. In the most evident sense, such a man would be willing to share his faith and identify with Christ even when confronted with martyrdom, as Stephen faced in Acts chapter 7. So, according to Acts chapter 3, a man who would be selected as a deacon in a church, appointed as a deacon, should be a man who has a good reputation, he should be full of the Holy Spirit, a man full of wisdom, and a man full of faith. Those words full could also be called characterized by having a life with such a testimony, a life characterized by the Holy Spirit, a man characterized by wisdom, and a man characterized by faith. I hope this has been a help. In the next episode, we'll continue our discussion of deacons and deacon qualifications. We'll take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 to see what else Paul has to say about the kind of men who should serve a church as deacon. Hope it's been a help. God bless.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.